Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbuamoke here. And we got a lot of stuff to get to today. Alvin Kamara trending on Twitter right now because we're seeing some reports out there that the Saints might be interested in training him. The same day that Joe Mixon gets a nice deal to stay in Cincinnati to be their running back. The same day that Leonard Fournette is filing a grievance against the Jags. There's a lot of running back news in the NFL right now. Plus, we want to get to a sports side piece conversation. Who is yours? I got some great tweets on that as well. But 888-729-3776. Everyone's got a main sports team for the most part. But if you got a little something on the side, let us know who it is and how you came to that team. But first and foremost, today, I got to check in on you.
Oh, good.
Because I'm worried about your main right now. What's going on with the Houston Rockets?
Oh, okay. I didn't know we were talking about real. We're talking about work. Okay.
Do you have some relationship stuff you got to get off your chest? That sounded like you were waiting for an outlet here.
No. I was ready to talk about the Rockets. What are you talking about, Blake? So the Houston Rockets are extremely frustrating because, and I will tell this story. I've told this story a couple times. I think I told you and Trey and your father this thing. So I've had a thing for the Houston Rockets. Obviously, I grew up in Cypress, Texas. My first sports game that I went to actually was a Houston Comets game before I even knew really what basketball was. It's when your dad works for a huge company and then gets tickets to a game and, you know, you go to the game. And so I start playing basketball. I start following basketball and the Houston Rockets are my team. The first person that really I got my shoe signed, my first real autograph was Clyde Drexler. Like, I was so excited, signed my AAU shoe. And so we're cheering for the Rockets. I remember I made the embarrassing mistake of sitting next to Tracy McGrady on the jump for the first time and, like, turning to my side and, like, freaking out. I was like, oh, my gosh, I had a crush on you. Like, no, not a real crush, but, like, a basketball crush. Like, growing up, you were my guy, right? But he left us. He left us in the lurch. No, I'm just kidding. But my whole point here is that my parents, you know, we've always watched the Rockets games. And growing up, my mom said, you know, I said for one Christmas, I want for Christmas a Tracy McGrady jersey dress. She's like, oh, okay, great. She's like, if the Rockets win after the second round, you'll get the dress. Never got the dress through my adolescence. Mm. Now we're in a position where every year we build up our hopes. And by the way, shout out to jersey dresses. I feel like they should make a fierce comeback. I get my hopes up. And this Rockets team, like, going into the bubble, everyone saw that the way they were built, the way that they play small ball, which is risky. And I love how Max Kellerman, who calls it micro ball, you know, like, it's super, super small ball, where they're struggling now because when a Steven Adams goes in there or someone attacks the paint, they have no rim protector. And if they're not, like, getting the shot differential where they're shooting more threes and making more threes, they really start to struggle. It's just been really frustrating for me because you see a couple games where they could close that series by inbounding the ball, by not turning over the ball, and that's where we saw things happen. Russell Westbrook is such an integral part of this team, especially this year. There have been many iterations of the Rockets' success. You know, from my most recent period, I always talk about Dwight Howard, and then we go into Chris Paul now, and then obviously we're in this Russell Westbrook, the Brody experiment. But this felt like this one had hope because the Rockets upped it, and they were like top three in pace immediately because before this was an ISO offense with James Harden. Dribbling, and I always do that whole dribble, step back. Now it's like hand rest the keys and go. Now we saw that in the late in the games, and now that he's coming back from the quad, it's a struggle. It's a real struggle because his rhythm was stunted, but now you have the ball, the final possessions. Is that what we wanted? Or where is James Harden? Why aren't you being intentional? Are you just sort of like, oh, you let him just do his own thing, and so I'm just going to be a little bit spiteful in that moment. And that's why I still revert going back to that young girl that really has hopes, that has dreams, that this team won't let her down, but they always have.
Well, and I want to ask you this because you brought up Russ having the ball at the end of games, Harden having the ball at the end of the games. It doesn't seem to matter statistically on potential tying or go-ahead field goal attempts in the last minute of playoff games. Harden and Russ are a combined 5 of 41. They have the two worst field goal percentage in that situation with a minimum of 15 attempts.
You hear why I say I need side pieces?
Well, I understand that, but I guess, and first off, I understand why 888-729-3776 if you need a side piece as well. But I look at that, Jhené, and I go, all right, in this situation, we would all look at this, and correct me if I'm wrong, and say, that's got to be Harden, right? Like, Harden has more range. Harden has more offensive optionality on this. We know Russ operates like a hammer, but this is the same script that made it not work in Oklahoma City when you had Russ bogarting attempts at the end of games from Kevin bleeping Durant. Like, how are we watching the same thing repeat here?
I think this was the first incident in which we really were like, okay, this is that situation. Like, it's taking us back to that day, you know, that time where it's like, this was not working for you at a high level when you had one of the best players of all time. And so you're hearing that same narrative of James Harden's one of the best players of all time, offensively scoring the ball. Why not just let him lead? This is his team. This is where he's been consistently before he left. You know, he left OKC first and then claimed, you know, staked a claim here. And so, yeah, like, that was troubling. But more so, it's more complimentary of the Thunder. Because what Chris Paul did was truly what is in his nature and his character. He wills people to win. That's the reason why he's the president of the MBPA, because he cares about leading, he cares about winning and representing and getting the most out of people, right? And he's doing that in real time with this team that honestly should not be going to seven. I think the Rockets sort of were poised to really be the team that was supposed to maybe link up with the Lakers and, you know, and they still can, and the Clippers, but now it's looking like the momentum has completely shifted. And I know you saw that free throw where who was shooting. I can't remember who was shooting, but James Harden was on the side and Chris Paul didn't even care where the basket was. He was just turned full profile and was just staring at James Harden. And I think it's interesting because we talk about players, you know, that need that edge. How tall is Chris Paul? I've been around him a couple times. Probably like 6'2".
Yeah, on a good day, it feels like.
6'2". This man, the three he hit that was like jumping backwards between the legs. And then I can't remember who, but I don't know why. I would have started fighting after this. Hit that big clutch three to get them back in the game. You know, they sort of lost their lead. It was really streaky towards the end. And then I think he slapped his defender on the butt on the way back. I would have been fighting.
I would say, Chris does some sideways stuff like that. Between that and the groin shots, like, he's a guy that's easy to want to get into it with if you're on the other team.
Yes, but he's one of the guys you know not to try. Like, he's the one that, you said it in the break, like, one of those, like, he's aged in the league, not when it comes to his game, but with his tenure. And he's one of those guys. What was your comparison?
He's got uncle tendencies, right? Like, Chris Paul's probably got a pair of Monarchs that he mows the grass in and probably has like a nice pair of slides out by the grill. Like, he's got major uncle tendencies. I wouldn't be shocked if he's got a toothpick as soon as he comes off the court that goes right in the mouth. Like, he seems like he's got a lot of that to his game right now.
Well, what we're seeing is, like, we've seen that on the State Farm commercials. He's like really dad. Like, he's the guy that will take the younger players like a Schroeder or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and really sort of put his arm around him and coach him up. And that's what we're seeing. Like, we saw some of that tough love as they were walking off the court. And he was like, yeah, like, I'm proud of you. And that's the energy of the playoffs. That's what gets you to win. Like, it's not about the scouting report. It's not about, like, the talent. It's literally, how bad do you want it? Yesterday, we saw Jimmy Butler want it really bad. We also saw Chris Paul want it really bad. And hard work beats talent. What's the cliche that goes on every poster? Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't want to work hard. And in the late stretches of the Rockets game, it seemed like James Harden wasn't working hard enough for him to put himself, to put his city, to put all my hopes and dreams in front. Okay.
So, but I want to stick with something you just brought up there. Chenan Gold Jr. reminding you, don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. You brought it up there, working hard at the end of this. I don't know if this is a hard work issue, because it's not like I don't believe that going into the season, Giannis and James Harden aren't putting in the work. Even outside the bubble, we all talked about Harden came back looking a little bit leaner in this. But we talked about it, whether it's the dog, that alpha mentality, like, whatever weird words in sports that we use to label all that stuff. There is something to being the guy that you know. Like, I played with plenty of dudes, like, dudes I was supremely confident in. Zach Martin playing left tackle, I knew he's going to have his guy locked down. We're not going to have to worry about it. But basketball is different in the fact that you want a guy who knows, all right, I can throw him the ball down the stretch, and I don't have to worry about it coming back. I know where that's going to be. Giannis and Harden have seemed to struggle with that, both Giannis defensively last night and Harden offensively in some of these situations, in a way that I just wonder, is that a mental block? Like, how do you go about trying to fix that with players you know are otherwise so supremely talented?
I don't think it's a mental block. I think it's more so a reflection of their character. James Harden is low-key, and he sort of does things on his own. And I think Russell Westbrook, if there's anyone that can figure it out for Game 7 for James Harden in that moment, in this span of 24 hours between the next game, to get on the same page so that you don't turn the ball over so many times to finish the game, It's those two. They're brothers. They picked each other. But also by picking each other, you also lit a fire under Chris Paul. And you have to extinguish that first in order to be successful. But you have to want it just as bad as Chris Paul was wants it. And then even Giannis. Like, Giannis is now, he's going to learn the next step of his game. He's already been a tremendous player at such a short age. And it's just such a short run. But now we're going to see how he responds. And if he responds, watch out.
That's got to be that energy, as we say around here over and over again. They've got to keep that, and in this case, match that same energy in this situation. All right, we've been asking you, 888-729-3776, for your sports side piece. We will get to that next. Who's the team that you go to when your main isn't really holding the down? That's coming up. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
You know, this is one of the best videos, right?
Oh, yeah. This is like an original. We talk about, you were watching the VMAs the other day. This is like an old school MTV classic right here.
Shout out to BBQ, who hits all these moves, right, Cliff? You know young BBQ on Instagram?
All the good moves. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Janae, you started us off on this because we know right now it's been a struggle. Your Houston Rockets aren't really living right here, extending this playoff
series
a little
longer. There's still hope.
There is. And you always want hope for the main thing. You want to believe that the relationship you're in is going to work out. But sometimes it goes a little different. We saw this story pop up the other day about Brad Pitt supposedly now dating a woman who is currently married to a 68-year-old German restaurateur, but they got an open relationship. So it's cool. But it's a side piece situation. Very clearly defined. And so we wanted to ask people, kind of like
wait.
What?
Who's the side piece in that situation?
I mean, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, whoa.
Which, yeah, like, listen, ultimate side piece.
That is a level right there that is, you've uncharted waters. That's Super Saiyan, according to your t-shirt.
Well, that is, because like, that's like rooting for the Houston Texans, but then deciding you want to be a Patriots fan on the side. Now, might be a little different.
And then they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it might be a little different because we're not dealing with like the normal Super Bowl era Patriots. We'll see what happens with Cam Newton. But you got a side piece when it comes to this in the world of sports. And so we wanted to see, because I remember there was that Shop NFL commercial years ago where the one family starts off as fans of one team, but then kid goes and like smells barbecue in Kansas City and now he's a Chiefs fan. They were super fair weather, but everyone needs a place to go when their main team isn't holding it down. So 888-729-3776. We want to come in hot with this next one and find out who your sports side piece is.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you. Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Janae and Golic Jr.
Coming in hot is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Let's start this off and let's go to Ryan in Texas. Ryan, you're on Janae and Golic Jr.
Texas, let's go, Ryan.
Who's your sports side piece, Ryan?
Hey, first of all, y'all make the work day afternoon best. So appreciate y'all so much. First of all, I'm a Cowboys fan. Hope everything goes well there. But my side piece, I guess, this year is going to be Arizona, because I want to see what Cliff Kingsbury does, Hopkins, Murray, and it kind of makes Bill O'Brien look like the knucklehead he is as the general manager. And so I'm hoping Cliff does well and Murray does well as well in Arizona, but go Cowboys, number one, first of all.
We appreciate the call, Ryan.
Why are you doing this to me, Ryan? Shouting us out, Bill O'Brien. That was the worst breakup, I feel like, of the offseason. Like, that, losing hot. Like, that was tough. But that is a good, like, subtle team.
Well, and makes sense because there's a lot of Texas in it. Like, Kyler Murray was a Texas high school football star.
Yes.
DeAndre Hopkins came over from Texas. Cliff was at Texas Tech in Lubbock. So it makes sense.
I'm here for it, Ryan. Shout out to Texas.
All right. Ryan gets it. Let's keep it going. Let's start. Try Chris in Tennessee. Chris, you're on the show. Who is your sports side piece?
Hey, my sports side piece would be the Atlanta Falcons, because I used to do the Dirty Bird dance when I was young. And I even went to the game last year, and I was secretly cheering for the Falcons. But the Titans blew out the Falcons. So I had to, like, be happy. So it was pretty crazy, man.
Wait, what's your main team, though? What's your main team?
I think the Titans.
Oh,
you know,
Titans.
Yeah, I'm from Tennessee. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. Shout out Woody Page. So, you know, main team is the Titans, but got to go with the Falcons, man. They represent the Dirty South all day.
That is amazing to me that someone would willingly choose to be a Falcons fan. Like, that is a group that deals with so much pain and heartache, Chinee. Like,
that was, yeah, that was a lot, especially the emotional turmoil of, like, being let down by 20 plus points. Like, that is a struggle. That was, like, severe. I don't know if there's been any other instance besides maybe the Cavs coming back on the Warriors that,
yeah,
like, hurt
but
so,
like,
bad.
At least the Warriors gave you championships beside that. Like, the Falcons only give you heartbreak. Usually you go to your sign for something that the main's not giving you.
And that's a series. So, like, you get to see people numerous times.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That one seems tough. All right, let's try Adam in New York. Adam, you're on Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Who's your main and who's your side?
Well, I grew up a Jets fan. My childhood was spent waiting for Joe Namath to come back from an injury. So I'll go way back. But the Jets once had a bright, positive, young head coach named Pete Carroll. And they fired him after one season because they said he was too good of a person, too nice of a guy. And I said, that's who I want as my head coach. And I have followed Pete Carroll everywhere he's gone. And he is now a Seattle Seahawks for a long time. And Seattle is my very strong side piece.
Seattle feels like the perfect side piece. Like,
it was my side piece previously.
Wait, Seattle was your side piece too?
Went to Stanford, Richard Sherman, Doug Baldwin. So I automatically, you know, our defense at Stanford, which you know all about, our defense party in the backfield, transition to the NFL, all the way to Seattle. So I started rooting for them and the Niners. But now, you know, it's sort of split because, you know, with the Niners and Richard is cool. But I feel like Cam is a little bit cooler.
I'm just glad you didn't mention Toby Gerhart. That's the one that keeps me up at night, that human.
Yeah,
Clydesdale.
I saw him not too long ago. I was like, man, you are big for the RB position, bruh.
Yeah, he's a different breed out there. Let's get one more, and let's go to Barry in Cincinnati. Barry, you're on Chinee and Golic Jr. Who's your main and who's your side?
Main, originally Oakland Raiders. I've lived in Cincinnati my whole life, and my side is Cincinnati because they haven't done anything for 20 years.
That's a fair point. Got new hope, maybe? Get Joe Burrow in here?
Come on. That's what I was thinking. Like, that's a great side, again. Like, you have hope in a player. Like,
well, and it's local. You can go. You can tailgate. Like, obviously, not right now because of COVID, but you could go tailgate, root with everyone around there. It feels nice.
I haven't asked you. Like, it's funny because I think about, like, people, then I also think about food. Like, what's my main? What's my side? What's your main and what's your side?
Well, see, I don't have a main when it comes to pro sports. Like, I grew up an Eagles fan, but then they were one of the teams, like everyone else, that either didn't sign me or cut me. And so now I just root for my friends, praying around the league. I get you know what I get? I get, like, the buffet. I get to pick and choose where I want as long as I got people out there. So I will give you a college side piece of mine that I will adopt and go by as we go forward here, because obviously I'm a Notre Dame fan. But let's stick with the world of college sports there and head out and talk with our ESPN college football reporter, Harry Lyles, next on all the news surrounding the Big Ten, conversations between their commissioner and the president, and if we can expect any real change coming next. We're going to get to all that after this word from DraftKings. The football season is less than 10 days away, with the reigning champ set to take the field and kick off the season. No better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Celebrate week one of the football season. DraftKings is going to put you right in the center of the action. You're going to get two shots at a $1 million top prize. Just draft your team, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for yards, touchdowns, and so much more. With all the cash up for grabs, there's no better place to get in on all the action than DraftKings. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now. Use promo code CJR. Get a free shot at $1 million top prize. And for a limited time, get a share of $100 million in prizes once you enter DraftKings Free Survivor Pool. That's promo code CJR. Get in on all the action. Limited time only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Chinee and Golic Jr.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Agwumike with you guys. And a lot of big news around the world of sports today, but maybe one of the biggest involved the President of the United States tweeting about a phone call that took place between him and Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, who at this point in college football right now might be one of the more hated men on the planet based on the response we've seen from his constituency in there. And so to hit on that and all of the information and news going on around the sport right now, we're delighted to be joined by our ESPN college football reporter, Harry Lyles, on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pens oil based on Sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. And I got to ask, Harry, now, if memory serves right, you're a Falcons fan, right?
Yes, I do admit to that. Yes, I'm a Falcons fan.
So the hesitancy is there.
Having the conversation on here today because, like, a lot of people get hurt by their sports teams. Like, do you got another team that you root for just as, like, a mental health break from the Falcons?
Honestly, man, it for me, I try to take the same approach that I take with basketball, and that's try to root for individual players. So, you know, for me, easy ones are Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, right? So, like, if those guys are going to be, you know, playing on Sunday and maybe the Falcons are in a less than opportune position, I might be more inclined to see what Lamar and Pat are going to do.
Understandable. And we're having a conversation about sports side pieces today, and you picked a couple of really good ones.
Really, so really great side pieces
Job well done by you, Harry, on that one. But and always apologies. I don't like bringing up the Falcons fandom because I know the pain that you guys all go through. So we will move on to something even more complicated than that somehow. The President of the United States apparently reached out and talked to Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren. Harry, this seems pretty transparent, but do you think there's any chance that this leads to actual movement or change in what the Big Ten was planning on doing this fall?
Not at all, to be quite honest with you. And the Big Ten pretty much came out and said just as much today, you know, that they have certain health benchmarks that they've got to meet. And, you know, for people who, you know, may have seen what the president tweeted and, you know, were cheering it on and stuff like that, I should preface all this to say we all want football this fall, right? Like, the idea of not being able to turn on any channel that usually has football on Saturday and it's not going to be there, none of us are taking enjoyment in that. But I think in this particular situation, you got to take a step back, albeit not a big one, and kind of look at what's going on here, right? The president's gotten involved in sports, especially the past few months, when there is a very outwardly divisive issue that leaks into news cycles outside of sports. And that's why it's notable that it's and not a coincidence today that he also spoke out against the NBA and its players. And, you know, so he says he talked to Kevin Warren and says that it was very productive and, you know, that they'd get back to playing. I think he said again and immediately with not a whole lot of context other than some superlatives. But you'll notice that, like, the Pac-12, other Group of Five conferences or even other divisions aren't a concern here. And, you know, the White House told ESPN, my colleagues Heather Dinich, Mark Schlabaugh, and Adam Rittenberg, who've all done a great job of, you know, reporting this thing out all summer, that they, being the White House, haven't reached out to the Pac-12. And that's because the Big Ten has been the talking point nationally for the past few weeks because the parents are speaking out and lowering up. And, you know, we've seen the same tactics tried by somebody like Kelly Loeffler against the Atlanta Dream and the WNBA, right? She's picked a political battle against her own team to try to rally support for her campaign here in Georgia. So I think that you could say that the president speaking out might add urgency, and you could also argue, you know, just about how much or how little that's actually going to have an effect. But at the end of the day, the Big Ten still has rules in place and most importantly wants to uphold the amateur model, right? Like, if that model doesn't exist, the players are played and had an association or a union, we're not having this conversation. If we as a nation handled the virus like the majority of the world did once we learned how to handle it and, you know, put the appropriate safety measures into practice, we also would not be having this discussion. But I just say all that to say, if it looks like a stunt and feels like a stunt, it might be a stunt.
Here with Harry Lyles Jr., our own ESPN college football reporter. And Harry, you really mentioned it and you nailed it there when it comes to amateurism. Because when we hear about these leagues like the NBA, the WNBA, the NFL, those voices are professional voices, right? But through your lens of college football, we've heard from Trevor Lawrence, we've heard from Justin Fields. How do you think these athletes, I know you wrote a tremendous piece about how the athletes are sort of becoming activists. How do you see athletes playing a role in this moment when we are getting presidential tweets, we are trying to get more information from commissioners, but we're also dealing with a virus?
I think you're going to keep seeing them speak out to an extent. I think a lot of that has to do and depends on, like, you know, what the powers that be at their individual universities are telling them. Because obviously we've seen in the past, usually no matter the topic, right, whenever an athlete speaks out, there's some sort of retribution or like, hey, we need you to quiet down and we will give you X, Y, and Z in order to get you to pipe down. But I think all of this is like a perfect storm between COVID and the Black Lives Matter movement and what we're seeing right now in college athletics, where something is going to have to give. I don't necessarily know that immediately the solution to that is going to be the breaking of the amateur model, but I think it's going to force a lot more realistic conversations where we're going to have to get, you know, answers that are actually real and have real change.
And so I think that the player's voice here definitely matters, but I think at the end of the day, you know, that's still very limited, and they don't really have any real tangible power until they actually do get some sort of players association or union. But I do think and hope that they keep using their voices to express that, you know, whether they want to play and that they need certain protections and that Black Lives Matter and things of that nature.
Harry Lyles with us here on Chiné Ngolick Jr., our ESPN college football reporter. And Harry, speaking of the choices that players are making, we saw Ja'Marr Chase opt out of the upcoming season for LSU. We saw 10 players from UCF announce that they were opting out as well. Are we expecting more of this, or even as we get closer and closer, you know, 10, 12 days out from the start of the season in some cases?
You know, I think that's a really good question, and one that it's one of those instances where, like, multiple things can be true, right? Because if you're Ja'Marr Chase, I mean, you know, I wouldn't necessarily make this argument just because of how great Joe Burrow was last year, but a lot of people would argue that he could have been the best player in the country last year, right? And so if you're Ja'Marr Chase, you're going to be a top 5 or 10 pick at worst in the NFL draft. Do you really want to risk not just regular injury, but do you want to risk getting coronavirus? And then even if he recovers from that, the myocarditis that comes with that and the potential long-term effects that we don't know about yet. And, you know, even for just some players, the health risk in general with coronavirus is not worth it. And I think as we get closer to the season, I'm not sure as far as smaller or lesser known names that you're going to see more of those guys opt out. But I think for some of these guys like a Ja'Marr Chase or even, you know, somebody a few notches down that might be a 4th or 5th round pick, you're going to see them be like, you know, I've got enough tape from the past 2 or 3 years. Do I really need to go out and make this risk, right? And so I think that you're going to see a lot of that, maybe not as much, but I do think that, especially with like UCF that we saw today, you're going to start seeing guys maybe in chunks at smaller schools kind of be like, I don't know if this is necessarily worth it as we get closer to this and it becomes a reality for these guys.
You can follow him on Twitter at Harry Lyles Jr. and read him on ESPN.com, one of our great ESPN college football reporters. Harry, we appreciate the time today, man.
Thanks, Harry.
Guys. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Harry Lyles, again, you can check out great work and a great piece on the summer that
we
saw.
And a great headshot. I don't know if you saw that, but it was smooth.
Harry was posting some like low-key modeling-looking pics the other day on Instagram. He's kind of in his bag right now.
He really is. Congrats to him. Kudos there.
Exactly.
Because that's hard to accomplish, those headshots.
Ooh, I have to say, listen, you're preaching to the choir on that one. It is difficult to find a good headshot around here.
All good.
You know what? We're going to figure that out. That's the kind of people and energy we want around here. But coming up next, almost the exact opposite. Something Daniel Snyder's trying to take credit for that should have happened a long time ago. We'll get to that next. It's Chiné Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Chiné Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
Chiné Ngolick Jr. reminding you the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Jokic and the Nuggets battle the Utah Jazz, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Chiné Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chiné Ogwumike. We got tip-off in the Eastern semifinals, Boston and Toronto in that series. We know Boston, the 1-0 lead there. Chiné, you expecting a bounce-back performance tonight from Toronto? They were one of the teams that we looked at, had everything. Right now, the currency of the bubble seems to be continuity and the overall team culture surround there really helping a lot of these folks out. Think what we've seen from the Heat, certainly the Celtics, but the Raptors in the rounds leading up to this have looked of that ilk. Do you expect a turnaround from them tonight?
I do expect a turnaround in the sense that Pascal Siakam will not be in foul trouble. He will be more intentional about how he moves because he needs to be out there for his team. He also will probably need to be force-fed the ball a little bit because this is a guy that was trending. He obviously was a first-time All-Star this year. He was most improved player. He went from 7 points to 17 to like 23 points this year, always improving, but hasn't found his stride yet. So I think they'll be more intentional using him and making sure he gets going because he is so necessary for them to find any form of success. And the Celtics are rolling. So I feel like this is going to be a really good game.
This is going to be a really good game. And, man, this NBA playoff run in particular, I believe that you tend to win with good players. Like in the NBA, in the NFL, whatever it is, you win when you got a bunch of ballers on your team. But if you are one that looks and says the overall culture, all of these overall team buy-in mentalities are what wins, this current playoff run by a lot of folks has given you a lot of ammunition for that argument.
Oh, for real, for real. But you know what's interesting here? I think that the Raptors and the Celtics, it's one of those situations where it can go 7 just on the merit of the talent there. Like, these are two teams that are completely deep. Like, They run systems, but they also trust in their stars. The stars for the Celtics probably have more of an upside between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. But like the star in Pascal Siakam, you never know when that's going to come. And then also you've got Kyle. Like, so it's really out of all matchups, I'm like, this one's pretty even and this one's going to be fun.
Yeah, and I think Jason Tatum is the most interesting one in this as far as someone who's got what most people identify as that ability to make that superstar ascension at some point here. And that's been a conversation happening for a while. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Again, that game just tipping off on ESPN right now. But it's time, we got to lean into one thing that you and I both wanted to get into here that we talked about last week in One and Done right now.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
And Shanae, what you and I were both looking into today was news out of the NFL. The NFL is now overseeing the investigation of the Washington football team regarding previously reported allegations of workplace misconduct. Now, the source said that attorney Beth Wilkinson, who was initially hired by the Washington football team to investigate the club, has been retained by and is now reporting only to the NFL. Washington's owner, Daniel Snyder, was informed Monday night that the NFL would be taking this over. The source also says that Roger Goodell discussed this step with Snyder and that Snyder was supportive. Now, also saw a quote there where Snyder basically tried to say that I suggested something similar to all this, and Chiney, it all reeks of someone trying to take credit for the thing that they now know is out of their hands. Like, trying to seem like you're supporting something when really, in actuality, Daniel Snyder has appeared, as we got more and more information, closer and closer to the problem in all this.
So the good news is that we were discussing this not too long ago, and we're saying that NFL oversight is necessary because when it comes to financial matters, when it comes to bottom line matters, obviously the NFL will jump in and try to say, this is what we need to get your franchise to be successful. But what about workplace and culture and how you treat the employees? Because ultimately, that's what brings real success on the football field. We're seeing a lot of decisions being made on team personnel based on culture, and that is what is the driving factor for success here. So I'm happy that this is happening. Now, the manner in which it's happening is sort of giving me a little bit of pause. And I look at the statement. Recently, the Washington football team launched an independent third-party investigation, allegations into our culture and incidents of harassment. In conversations with Commissioner Goodell, Tanya and I suggested that the NFL assume full, complete oversight over the investigation so that the results are thorough and complete trust, you know, by the fans, the players, and our employees and the public. Now, I thought it was interesting just because this is where we are inserted with his wife, Tanya, which to me seems quite convenient in this instance because it's like, I'm here to remind you that I have a wife here. And while these allegations are coming primarily from women, I want you to see in this statement, this primary sentence, that I'm a family man. To me, that just sort of doesn't feel right, considering a lot of the allegations were pointing to multiple men, and then also yourself is implicated to some degree. And then also, I guess apart from that, that's me like doing my behind the scenes type of like reading behind the statement. I'm glad, though, that the firm that's representing over 12 of the former Washington employees has first of all, they were the ones that were pushing for this to happen, which is good. And now in a statement, they're also saying that they will release employees or former employees from any non-disclosure agreements for purposes of speaking with the investigators. So before, a lot of these women came to the table, what was initially 25, then 17 more, or vice versa, I can't remember, but a total of 42 women that came and spoke, right? So now it's a lot of those women spoke under conditions of anonymity, anonymous nature. And now they're releasing these women from non-disclosure so that they can speak and feel a little bit more comfortable and so that they can address the problem. So I don't know how to feel besides, dang, I don't know.
Like, it took this long, I guess is how I feel, right? Like, for the right thing to happen in this case, because no one looking at this, even when it's saying they brought in outside counsel to do this, believed that when the influence was ultimately tied back to Daniel Snyder, that this was going to be something that ultimately was taken seriously until the league stepped in. People were begging for this from the start.
Yeah, they were. And it sort of was like, okay, if a team cannot be held accountable over repeated instances for creating a workplace that works, this is where the NFL should step in. And I'm glad that this is happening, but it shouldn't get us to a point where repeated incidences, especially with public pressure, and, you know, over the course of every other week, we're getting articles about what's happening here. And the real reality is for the NFL to step in. It's got to start thinking about, okay, how do we have these fail-safe systems so that every team has a place where you're not dealing with one HR person that feels pressured by corporate. It's now we have systems so that we can prevent this problem from moving in the future.
That's true. This is always a situation where, yes, Daniel Snyder is the one people are honing in on and saying, all of this can't happen without the leader of the organization being involved enough in a way that punishment seems necessary at some point. And the attorneys in this situation have said if all of these allegations come back and are verified here, they believe Daniel Snyder should be removed, which seems like a duh moment in here and one a lot of people in Washington would probably sign off on. But you're right in the fact that it's about making sure that there's structure in place so this can't happen again. It can't be a one bad apples conversation about this. You've got to change the environment that makes these things possible to go on for this long. We'll hit on that and plenty more heading back into the NBA bubble and find out, can you turn a player into a dog? That's next.